I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
Hey, everyone.
Hey. Hey.
It's episode 7 of Can't Lit.
Episode 7, just like you're in heaven.
I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And we have our special guest today. We have Amber Dawn.
Hello.
Hi, Amber Dawn.
Hi, thanks for having me and donuts.
Yeah.
Donuts. That you can't eat.
Yeah, I can't eat. I'm the worst guest on this show because I don't drink and I can't eat gluten. I've already failed you twice.
Wade didn't drink either.
Oh, thank you, Wade Compton.
Thanks for being supportive, Wade.
Solidarity sober.
You didn't offer him donuts, though. I hope he's not upset now.
I think he can't have sugar.
Oh, there you go.
See?
What's wrong with us? The world is going to end.
What? What are you thinking about? You're just looking at me with those big puppy dog brown eyes.
I'm thinking, what's happening?
What is happening? Let's let our guest go first in what's happening. Amber Dawn, tell us.
So much is happening. I'm going to go in reverse chronological order. And I'm going to start with this text message that I got from Billy Nickerson as I was walking here. Billy Nickerson texted me just minutes ago that says, "My barista makes me penis in tuxedo lattes." And there's a picture text to go with it. And indeed, the foam on the latte has been arranged so that it looks like a cock and balls wearing a tiny, tiny tuxedo with a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
I have to, full disclosure, I've seen this before.
This very text?
This very, yeah, well, in person he showed it to me. Not his penis. His cappuccino penis.
This cappuccino dick.
Weird. What is the slash form for latte cock and balls? Like, what, we need a cute name.
Cappuccino?
Yeah, cappuccino.
Cappuccino.
Cappuccino, thank you. There it is.
And my joke to him was that it kind of just looks like the penis has a shaft that's got veins in the shape of a tuxedo.
That's clearly what it is.
Right? So, like, that's, like, that was the inspiration, is that she saw this penis and it had tuxedo veins.
So moving on, I am also wearing track pants to Can't Lit today, which is really out of fashion for me. But yesterday I was in Seattle getting a tattoo on my thighs, which I can say for any of you tattoo aspiring folks, like, how that just, it just hurts.
That was the...
It feels ouchy. Yeah.
The thigh / knee was my most painful tattoo.
God.
And I've been tattooed everywhere.
Really?
I also have a tuxedo penis.
I actually am planning on getting a tattoo of
your
tattoo
penis
with a tuxedo.
Tuxedo penis.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's so meta. And then before the tattoo, I was at a conference in Seattle called Geek Girl Con. Like all of it. It was unreal. I've never been to anything like that. I was invited to talk about queer women writing fantasy and science fiction literature. Yeah, I learned some things while I was there. A lot of fandom, technical kind of words, like OTP. When you're watching serial television shows that you're a big fan of, you're always looking for your OTP, which is your one true pairing, which is what characters you want to hook up the most on the show. And then you take your OTP, and if your OTP doesn't actually happen on the show, then you start writing fan fiction where those two characters actually do hook up, which is called shipping. You're doing the shipping for the show, since the show isn't doing the shipping for you. It was amazing.
How many times did you want to go, "You down with OTP? Yeah, you know me. You down with OTP?
Yeah, you know me."
I didn't want to do that until this moment because it didn't occur to me.
I love that your mind has been expanded in terms of, like, those very important pop culture, like, fandom words.
So the hot shows right now are Orphan Black, Hannibal.
Yeah. I watched both of those shows.
And Once Upon a Time.
I can't get into that.
I can't get into it either. My wife's watched it.
You should not get into it, even though I've watched every episode, including the newest episodes. Because that show is the worst garbage that I can't stop watching. It is like they took the idea of Lost and then just replaced everyone with the same actors, but playing fairy tale characters.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think the two matriarchs on the show were going to hook up? Because that's been a very popular OTP, is the mom and the stepmother, sort of the blonde and the dark-haired bad stepmother.
There's a lot of sexual tension, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's what I did over the weekend.
So nobody else watches Orphan Black or Hannibal?
I love Orphan Black. Are you kidding? Orphan Black's
okay, good.
Amazing because finally we have a female hero that doesn't have a male mentor anywhere around. Like, even Buffy had Giles, right? But here we have Orphan Black, and it's just about the sisterhood. They just have to mentor each other and figure it out as they go. I love that.
Yeah, me too. I'm a really big fan. And also Hannibal's great, and I'm sure that people are OT. They're getting their OTP on with the Hannibal and...
Hawkeye's in baths just, together. But they're not really in a bath. They're more like swimming through murky
but they're
waters.
Both bare... That's not true. I mean, Mads Mikkelsen is sexy, and that Hugh Dancy... He looks like he belongs in a 90s music video, but, like, not in a sexy way.
But would you think that he was sexy if he made out with his counterpart on the show?
Definitely. I would be into that.
Yeah.
No, I would appreciate the show more.
Mm-hmm.
What did they bring up at all Sherlock? Like,
oh, God.
Cumberbatch.
So Sherlock was the example of what's called queer baiting, when fans are baited with a potential queer relationship that never actually pans out. Sherlock was the number one example of queer baiting.
That does happen in Hannibal. Yeah. As well.
I think queer baiting
do definitely tease that a lot. And there was an overlapping sex scene type situation on the show where they were each having a sex scene, but they were cutting it so that it looked like they maybe in both situations were like coming together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. That's OTP. Mm-hmm.
Giving you queer blue balls. Damn it. This happens every podcast.
I like it.
I have to do my exercises.
I think it's
like...
cute.
So what's happening with you two?
Okay, I'll go. I don't think I have anything exciting. I've had a lot of weird, like, fever dreams and nightmares in the past few weeks.
Please talk about them.
Like, just based on what's been happening in Canlet, just, like, a lot of dreams of everyone fighting. And they're not very exciting. Like, one was in a grocery store for no reason. Like, everyone was there. Dino, you were for sure there. But they're
throwing produce.
I don't know. I think there was, like, a reading going on at the same time.
It's not a bad idea. People while they're getting ready to eat.
Seriously, we get people out.
And then I had, this is probably too personal, but I had this one dream that it was so literal. It was like, in the dream, I was falling in love, and like there's this like unknown presence next to me that like I was just like that I knew that I was like, oh, I'm falling in love. This is like such an exciting feeling, and right at the moment of like knowing where I'm like in a peak on the falling in love emotions, my ex like appears every time and physically walks between us, and he's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, no. And like at one point it happens again, and then he shows up because he's mad. He's like, no. And then so then for some reason in the dream I just start throwing water at his face. I'm just trying to like wizard the Wizard of Oz him.
Oh, what a world. Yeah.
But it was like, okay, brain, chill out. I get it.
Well, let's not go Freudian on this dream. Let's go more like Jungian. So like what part of yourself is your ex-boyfriend? Like, what part of yourself is actually getting in your own way of falling in love?
I know this very well.
Do
I don't know if I'm willing to.
This is a personal podcast.
Very personal. I'm trying to think of what I will actually reveal.
OPP, our personal podcast.
I'm just trying to OTP myself to Dina. That's what everyone wants, right?
You know what? I think that is what Can Lit wants.
Can't they Lit OTP.
Yeah, the literary community.
We do queer bait them a lot.
Yeah,
but yeah. No, it's nothing I'm gonna share. It's not complicated. It's stuff I'm working on, and it'll resolve itself, and hopefully those nightmares will go away.
I love your positive attitude. Happy personal healing. OPP podcast.
Oh, nice. This is so gentle, this podcast.
This is so gentle and kind. It's going to change right now.
Yeah, Dina, give it.
I don't adjust well to fall, and I become pretty ragey and bitchy. Because I don't like this weather. It's upsetting to me. I think about sweaters. I want to just rip them apart with my teeth. I want to pee on them like an animal. Like, I don't feel good about any of this. So I go through this very, low, grumpy, I'm lashing out at people. And it is because of the weather. And I feel that it might be a bit crazy, but I just deal with it. Also, I feel like a failure in terms of what I consider myself to be an expert in, because I'm not caught up on my TV shows. I've hardly been reading any books. I don't even know what's happening at the movies. That's not true. I've watched the trailer for Birdman like 17 times because of Michael Keaton, obviously. But aside from that, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I feel like I have backed up. It's like I have pop culture constipation. And eventually, my body's going to explode. So I just need some time to focus on the fictional people that mm-hmm. are most important to me. And it needs to happen soon. Yeah. Also, I like donuts.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's good.
And Mindy's waiting for you.
Yeah, Mindy. The Mindy Project.
Jess is being hilarious on New Girl.
Everyone's doing stuff, and I don't know what it is. I did, despite this weather thing, go swimming in like a fairly mountainous lake on the weekend. So
what? You went swimming this last weekend?
Yeah, I went swimming in Deep Lake Washington, just across the border from Fruitvale, the Juanita border crossing. Well, I guess it's boundary. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, yeah, I did go swimming.
It's hardcore.
It was hardcore. Everyone in my family were having this like memorial for my grandparents. Yeah, and we just decided that we should all go swimming in their honor. So we did. We jumped and it was fucking cold.
Yeah.
But we had a fire. And I had a breast cancer awareness bathrobe. That was my grandmother's.
Yeah.
From when she had breast cancer. Like 15 years ago, whenever that was. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But yeah, I put aside my weather feelings. But it was really sunny there. It was like 19 degrees. It wasn't rainy like here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was my weekend. Sad feelings. Ate a bunch of lasagnas. But also good times. And I taught my niece how to cheers. She's into it. She was really vigorous. She's only 17 months old. She broke a glass.
Learning from the best.
How did she? She was jealous because everyone else was doing it because we were having a toast, and she was like, making that noise, pointing her hand at
angry baby
stuff
noise
that other people had. And we're like, fine, get in on it. When she got in, she didn't want to stop.
Drunk baby.
Yeah.
So normally in our podcast we talk about the person's latest book that came out. Yours came out a while ago.
I know, it's 2 years old. It's totally stale now.
You're
fuck
at
that noise.
The in between.
Yeah, yeah. You're between.
You have
between
a new book coming out soon.
April.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about in betweens. We can ask you about your literary life.
You know what? I'm riding this in between. Like, I'm really riding it. Today, a reader, well, they called themselves a fan, which I'm not comfortable with. But I guess since they said it, then I will just repeat what they said. Wrote me through my website and sent me a nude picture of themselves. Just cause they liked how poetry saved my life and they chose to express their feelings through a nude selfie.
Nude selfies.
I didn't know we could do this.
I didn't either, but I can't wait to send a couple.
So, you know, I feel like
David McGimsey, get your email ready.
Get ready. It's going to be two for one.
Who would you send your nude selfie
to,
Tina?
Who would send it to?
Oh, okay.
It's okay. It's going to finally OTP, can't let David McGimsey's email.
I feel like
I've given you an idea that's actually a little terrifying in your hands. Like, maybe I've created a bit of a monster here.
We can Photoshop anything. But I feel like your fans must be called fanbursts.
Fanburst.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's really sweet.
Excellent.
That's really sweet.
Daniel's fans are called Faniels.
Correct.
Obviously. Oh, but yours?
They don't have a name.
I thought we came up with one.
I don't think we did.
I thought it was Dina.
Can it be like can it be like Dina Hards or something? Like
sure.
Die Hards?
Sure, that's fine.
That's pretty good.
It's not
Dina Hards. Why were we calling you Dina for a long? Never mind, no. Nope.
That's a great question. back to Amber Dawn.
So I never had a sophomore book slump, like they call the sophomore slump. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. You do your sophomore book and you one does their sophomore book and one realizes that that book wasn't as good as their first book, but they pushed it out anyways into the world because one needs a sophomore book, and then there's the depression that follows. But that didn't happen for me, which was I'm pretty darn lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But I stopped drinking and eating gluten also as soon as I put out my sophomore book, so maybe it was just that. Maybe I just tricked.
I don't even like.
Maybe
that.
I
no,
just tricked.
You're not allowed to blame your like good writing.
Maybe I just tricked my body into not having a sophomore slump. Like I don't know, radical change.
But I also feel like because we talked about this before in the podcast. I don't think people. I think that's just a myth of this.
You know what else I feel? I mean, this might not even be true, but this is something that I have thought about. Is that feel like independent presses, that's less prevalent than say, you know, somebody that gets a huge advance, like hot young, you're 23, you write this mm-hmm. book, everyone's like, what a genius, look at this protege, and then your next book comes out and everyone's like, well, what happened to this book? Like, or the idea that, you know, you spend all your life working towards that first book and you put tons and tons and tons of your shit and thought and whatever into it, and then everyone's like, well, they obviously didn't think about the second book, and it's like, well, maybe that sometimes does happen because people are pushing you to put out a second book, but...
Do you want to know a secret that I've never said before?
Yeah.
About my sophomore book?
It's not real.
It's not real. It's totally
a dream.
Totally fabricated. It was a dream I had.
Bill A.
when I
wrote it.
No, not that. So, you know, it's been in the queue for a while. Like, that's some of the pieces that were in that book have been around for a while. And I used to perform them more on stage, especially in the USA. And I had a pretty top-tier agent and US publisher look at it years ago. But they thought that it was too complex for me to be both experiential sex worker and a just slutty queer woman. And
that's
could
too
I,
many things.
Could I be less queer? Could I just kind of like make the queer aspects go away? And I said no. Which I'm totally stand by.
Well,
that's amazing. But every once in a while I have that like, what would that rather top tier US publisher and that advance and that marketing machine have done for me?
But then also, how would you feel? Like
I'd feel like crap, and I would still be drinking and eating gluten.
And then you would for sure have to hit that sophomore slump because you'd feel bad for not producing a queer enough book.
Yeah, like that
depression. Then over queer, and then the like comparing of it automatically would be like, well, I had less sales, and it's like, well, yeah, because it's a queer book.
Mm. I'm really glad that we talked about this. I feel a lot better.
We're just it's just it's can't lit therapy day.
It totally is.
We're going to do trust falls later.
No, I can't wait. I'm really excited. It's going to be fun for the listeners.
I have,
there's not going to be much going on.
I have some blindfolds in my tote bag.
Great. This is going to work out perfectly. I'm glad you revealed this.
Can I ask about your third book?
Here it comes.
It's all glosses, right?
Yeah.
And was there any structure to what you chose to inspire those glosses?
Mm-hmm. Well, in 1994, BrickBooks put out PK Page's Hologram, mm-hmm. which I've just loved. It was one of my first sort of books that I ever owned, and I spent a lot of time with just admiring the glossiform and admiring PK Page, and it's so pompous to say this, but I guess I always imagined, like, I could be like PK Paige. Like, I know she's a really sassy lady and well-dressed lady, and she's a bit of a jokester during her day, as well as being just this, like, profound in her craft. So she was my role model. There's no way I could, like, gloss, like, Rilke or something like that. I couldn't do what she was doing. There's just no way. So I just spent a lot of time reading poems from poets that were more peers, mentors as well, but peers. So a lot of the quatrains that I selected for my glosses were like folks' first book, or, you know, that's not true. There's like, I also glossed like a Gertrude Stein and a Christina Rossetti. So those are obviously poets that are in the canon, but I wanted to gloss my people, if you will. I wanted to gloss like folks I know and folks that I've sat in the creative writing classroom with or been on stage with. So that was my approach. At first I had 17 glosses because I wanted to be just like hologram, and there were 17 glosses, but then it just kind of grew from there. And just utterly joyful, actually. Like, I would say to any writer, and especially to poets, if you're feeling a bit of that, like, writer's isolation, or, like, maybe just think that you're full of shit and why are you writing poetry anyway, start glossing, because it's amazing to interact with other people's texts like that. So I had a lot of, fun and joy and, like, you know, just the kind of book that you're working on. It's like, hey, I'm writing this book and weeping and then also laughing. What's going on with all these feelings? It's great. And I can't even wait to have it in print and share it with folks. And I'm really lucky because How Poetry Saved My Life, it being a memoir poetry hybrid, I got a readership that wouldn't necessarily jam with poems, but they read that book, and including the poems, I would like to think they just didn't skim past the poetry and go to the next prose passage. So I feel like maybe if I get really lucky, there'll be some of those same readers who aren't necessarily like poetry lovers will pick it up anyways, just to see what I'm doing. That's the dream, right? Is that you can like, I have an agenda, I'm recruiting, I want to convert people into poets.
Yeah, I support that. I have that dream, too. Mm-hmm. I feel the same. Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like I like that you said that you wanted to, like, gloss your people, but then you included these canonical poets, because those are your people, too, right? Mm-hmm. And putting everyone together like that, and, like, have a little poetry party on those pages of that book that's going to come out. Like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, poetry. Poetry. I'll figure this out. Give me a minute.
Poetry orgy.
And I'll get back to you at the end of the podcast. Okay.
Great. We'll have a cool glossary at the end of all the new words Daniel's come up with.
Okay, I also have a question. Sorry, I'm leading all the questions. Do you find it weird going from novel to poetry book to poetry book? Like, career trajectory, does that freak you out a bit?
Well, here's the thing is, I may feel more freaked out if I didn't have, like, a really good chunk of my next novel already
started. So you're not just on these. You're not just on the glossy glossy.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Oh God, what do I even want to say here? I
want to. You can be as honest as you want.
Yeah. Would I feel scared if I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna write poems now for the rest of my time? Like, yeah, I guess there would be a little part of me that would feel scared of that in career wise, because when I did Sub Rosa, which was what's been branded as a magical realism novel. I got fans like the fans I met at Geek Girl Con that I just went to, and I got, I don't know, just the accolades one gets when they write a novel, especially a novel that's not contemporary realism, and that was really fun. I want fucking attention. There it is. I want attention. I want people to like me so goddamn bad and think I'm smart and versatile and all that shit. So I gotta write another novel.
Yeah. I am totally agree with everything Amber Dawn is saying and feel the same way. Like, I think people are scared to be a genre hopper for, you know, that reason that Daniel was kind of bringing up, like, that you think it's going to be a bad career move. But in the long run, like, who fucking cares? And also, your writing's going to be the better for it.
Here's the thing. Is I'm a lesbian who talks about trauma.
This podcast is over.
I'm, you know, I'm like a queer kinky lesbian who talks about trauma. Like, it's not like I'm not going to be big. I'm going to be myself, and I'm going to have my readership that needs my work. And that's great by me. That's fine. And they don't care if I genre hop. And maybe some of them, I can bring them with me, which is what I was talking about. Maybe some of the folks that read Sub Rosa, I can hop them over to poetry with me, and that would be really great.
No, I totally agree. I think
it's like I'm some freaky multi-discipline Pied Piper or something, where I'm like, come with me, follow this.
And it's not just, you've done tons of other stuff too, like you've done performance work, like you're, and you've done video, like you're not scared to get out there and be like, look, I got some ideas, let's do this. Have you had ideas where you've been like, ugh, no, this is a thing that I'm too scared to do, or you were uncomfortable getting into?
No, I think about people like Anne-Marie McDonald, who's like, you know, fall to your knees, and then like, Good Night Desdemona, Hello Juliet, or Good Morning Juliet. Yeah. You know, like, that was a stage play. What? You know, like, it's not like we're going through this theater renaissance right now, but yet she wrote a stage play. You know, that's incredible to me. Why not?
Do you have a big scale dream project, or like something that you haven't done that you're like, yeah, this is a thing that I really want to do?
No.
I just always think that's okay.
I'm a Virgo. I'm very pragmatic. I'm like, I'm either gonna, you know, I like obtainable goals. And I like to dream within my capacity. I don't actually dream very big, though. Oof.
It doesn't have to be huge. Just something that maybe you haven't done yet. That you, in the future, you're like, after I do this, I want to do this. And then I want to do this. And then...
I'd really like to teach at one institution and not three.
That's going to happen.
I'd really like just someone to employ me full time.
Me too. But I want them to employ me to just watch TV in my pajamas.
Same.
Please, hire me for that. That would
OTP,
be great.
OTP me, you watching you, watching TV in your pajamas.
Watching you, watching me, watch TV. That's what I want. I just want to write a musical. Yeah. Come on, everyone. Hey, if anyone's listening and you like musicals, hit me up. I'm really fun. I'm good at baking.
I used to dream that someone would make Sub Rosa into a film. And I used to, like, cast all the different characters from Sub Rosa as actors.
That should happen.
That should happen. Cause
listen, if anyone's listening to this podcast, please make Sub Rosa into a movie.
There's so many things.
But a good one.
There's so many things all of our podcasters have to, listeners have to do for us.
Listen up, listeners.
It's a tall order. What's next?
Question-wise?
Yeah.
I was going to agree with the genre crossing, and I just wanted to say something about, like... To me, writing project, the form to me doesn't really, it matters depending on, like, what I want to come across. And usually for me, it's humor and what's going to produce that humor. Mm. So lately, it's not been poetry that's been on my mind. So it's been short fiction, and I've been working on that. And, I never think of, I guess also as a queer, it's like, you kind of know you already have kind of a limited audience. You're just like, whatever. I'm not, like, unless I write it, which is quite possible that I might write something from the perspective of a heterosexual or something.
Say what?
Not anytime soon. So I never expect, like, a big publisher in the first place. So I don't know if I probably would have said yes to the big publisher and then probably got rejected when they saw the final print and they're like, that's a lot of gay. That's a lot. Life goals.
Life goals. Let's have them.
Who would be some of the actors that you have chosen for Sub Rosa in your head?
Well, it's Sub Rosa came out in 2010, right?
Okay, so but that's let's a go while, to now.
That's yeah, okay, now. Because I was always like in Sub Rosa, there's the one like disgruntled magical prostitute who actually leaves Sub Rosa and like plans a rather elaborate yet still somehow flimsy escape route, and she's super crass. And I was always like, I want this to be the last film that Lindsay Lohan ever makes, and I want her to play the part of second.
Oh wow!
But now it's almost too late. It's just too late to ever cast her.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's like her last comeback or something to play.
I feel like you even want to wait 5 more years.
Yeah, give her a little more.
And then, do you know so embarrassing. Do you know the Twilight films?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have a child, right? Bella and...
Renesmee.
Thank mm-hmm. you. So yeah. the mm-hmm. little one that played Renesmee, I would really like her to play the protagonist. Because she's uncomfortably young, and the protagonist mm-hmm. is uncomfortably young, so...
Now she's not. You have to find a new one.
Well, no, we need an uncomfortably young cast. Like, and I love that. I love Jodie Foster played...
Taxi Driver.
Yeah, played in Taxi Driver. She's 12 years old, and I'm like, that's real. That's realness. But now you see youth cast in movies, but they're really, like, in their 20s, you know?
I feel like that started in the 90s because of Aaron Spelling.
I know!
Like, hey, guys, what's up? What's 90210, are you in your late 20s? Perfect. You're going to be 16.
Right, yes. So I actually want uncomfortably young cast, which I guess I'm, you know, I don't really know who those folks are.
Got to watch some Nickelodeon.
We'll figure it out.
Or the mm-hmm. Disney Channel.
Definitely not Amanda Bynes.
No, not Amanda Bynes.
She could also be in the movie.
Yeah, she could.
I love Amanda Bynes.
I know. We all do.
She's going to pull through.
I think so. I'm hoping.
I don't know.
Oh.
You know what? Everyone
we're supposed
said
to be having
about
positive
Lindsay
thoughts.
And Brittany, and they both are still.
I think Brittany's doing perfectly fine.
I think Brittany's doing fine. That big Las Vegas show she had for
yeah,
so long.
That's awesome.
I'd go there and watch that.
Yeah. She was dating that normal guy, Dave, for a while.
Yeah, Dave.
He was super normal.
Dave, the normal guy.
Normal
I bet
Dave.
She was good with the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Better than Kevin.
He didn't even care
know.
That she's,
I only
she was
how to
famous.
Make a million kids. Oh, wow. Yeah, take that, Kevin Federline.
His penis is also wearing a tuxedo.
I know that K-Fans P totally listens to this podcast.
She does.
Take that, sucker.
It's only because he's our arch nemesis.
I know this is going to make terrible noise, but I want to open one of these suckers. I'm going to open one called Razzmatazzberry.
Nice. We've been probably making mouth noises the entire podcast, so you go
I've
for it.
I've eaten a couple donuts.
Yeah.
We've been...
definitely inhaled a lot of donuts.
Amberdon, we want to make sure that we all get our vitamin C.
Yeah.
So these organic suckers are full of a day's requirement of vitamin C. So it's actually like you're just chewing vitamin C while you have one of these.
I'm going to have one too. Not right away because I feel like if all three of us have one, it's going to be a really awkward podcast for the next half hour.
This one's called Wet Face Watermelon.
Oh my. Wet Face Watermelon
rappers.
Should also be a character in your upcoming novel.
Oh my gosh. Yes, done. It's it. You know what? This is the strangest thing that I'm doing is every once in a while I am with someone that I really feel a fondness for and I'll be like, tell me a story about your past and I'm going to work it into the novel. And I've done that 3 times already.
That's so great. And it's all maybe together. This is like a fun exercise.
Okay, so let's do one right now. Okay, so it's set in 1990. So you're all younger than me. So so you got to think like the 80s just ended, new decade. Where were you first of all? You were probably in Fruitvale.
I was in Fruitvale. That is 100% true.
And Daniel, where were you?
I was in North Burnaby.
North Burnaby. Okay. So suburbia and like really, really small town.
Rural.
And do you remember like how old would you have been ballpark it?
What's the year? 1990?
Yeah.
I would have been 5. This comes up every podcast.
And you and around the same?
No, I would have been 10 or 11.
Okay, so I'm just actually going to work with Dina because I can't use a 5-year-old.
I was mostly watching the Power Rangers, so there
that's
you go.
Good.
That's
you can
good. No, that's good.
The Power
Rangers were awesome.
That.
Yeah,
you can incorporate that.
Yeah, the Power
that
Rangers
could be
were
part of it.
Do you remember a song, a favorite song, band, comic book, YA book, or television show that you would have been really into at the time?
Oh my God, 1990. I know that I inappropriately watched Twin Peaks when I shouldn't have been, mm-hmm. and I was pretty into it, which is creepy of mm-hmm. me, and I know that's bad. Also, my town kind of looks Twin Peaks-ish, which is weird.
Okay.
You know, mountainous, Pacific Northwest-ish, even though it's, like, in eastern BC. I was listening to New Kids on the Block for sure, but I also really loved, like, any music that my dad would bring into the car, you know, I would be into.
Oh, what car did you have?
At that time, we had a white Toyota Corolla
yes.
hatchback, which was amazing, yeah. And it survived so much. My dad, during a super horrible winter, it ended up in the ditch, like, straight upside down. He was, like, hanging upside down. Fine. Got fixed.
I can use that. That's going to, that. So that'll yeah. be in there. Give me a song that's in that Toyota Corolla.
Oh, my God.
In the winter time.
I'm just trying to think of 1990. I can't really think of music from that time. I'm having a super hard time remembering what we listened to.
But your dad probably listened to songs from all eras.
Totally. Like, we had those gas station solid gold hits of the 60s. And that, I'm telling you, everyone in my family, that was constantly crowd-pleasing. My Midnight Confession, The Hollies, all that stuff. We listened to that all the time.
Amazing. I'm so glad you said this on this podcast, because I can go back and listen to it now and make sure that I get it right.
With those solid gold hits of the 60s, tapes, cassette tapes, they had a gold and black package. They were beautiful.
Remember when Solid Gold had a dance reality show on television?
Mm-hmm.
I love the Solid Gold Dancers.
Solid Gold Dancers.
So that's good. What?
No.
It's okay.
We'll show it to you later.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll YouTube
you'll
that.
Enjoy it. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Solid Gold Dancers.
I'm sorry, podcast listeners, for all of the mouth noises that are happening. They can't hear it, but I can.
Creepy.
Solid Gold. I had a. You know what I would love if, for the stories I'm writing right now,
mm-hmm.
is if they turned into a movie and then Jennifer Lawrence had to play it, like she had to play a gay guy.
Oh, just cast women as the men.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, but what should they
dress? Just reverse Shakespeare that shit.
Yeah. No, I actually don't even want to, like, make them dress as men. I just want them to just be the character.
You should let the costume designer handle that, because they'll do a good job. You just get a good costume designer. That's all you need.
I just want to see Jennifer Lawrence in a movie where she's mostly at a leather bar.
I do, too.
That seems like a great movie, and I already want to watch it. Daniel, this movie is beautiful. I can't wait till it wins 20 Oscars.
I can't wait till all of our movies are produced based off this one podcast.
It's coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
It's coming down. I feel like I'm going to be the last person of all the people I know to get a book of fiction published.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I just have this, like, doomsday brain thing about it. It's so bad. I've been working on it for so long.
But, I feel like Blind Items is, you can just, I feel like that's technically, like,
because there's so many long pieces in it?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Shit takes long.
I know. You know what? I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about how long it takes.
You just said the word doom. You said the word doom.
But I'm just admitting that I have, like, not, I don't know, that I have a weird issue. It'll take time. It's fine.
Later, both of you can put your heads in my lap, and I'll pet your hair.
Okay, I'm really into that.
That's pretty good.
That's why I wore the jogging pants, besides the fact that I just got a tattoo.
Why did you wear that pointy sweatshirt that we're going to stab our heads
on? Yeah, you
on?
Can't lean your heads on my shoulder, but you can put your heads on my lap.
Okay, are we ready to move on to a new cool segment?
Yeah.
Called Who's Fighting Now?
I thought it was...
Everybody.
Did we
Everyone's
call
fighting.
It?
Everyone's fighting.
Did we used to call it Canlit Feuds?
Can you even talk about this?
No, mostly
because then people are fighting with you talk about it.
We talk about it every time, but nobody listens to our podcast,
This is the best part.
We've called out like 19 people, and they're just like, whatever.
We normally just mention David Gilmour.
Oh, yeah, we always have to mention David Gilmour.
Say his name. And then make like a disdainful noise.
Yeah.
What about Christian Book? Do you talk about him?
I think he's been referenced.
I think he's probably been referenced. I can mm-hmm. talk about the time that... nothing exciting happened. I just hit on him a lot when he came here.
What?
Yeah.
For, like, the poetry conference.
Okay, but he ruined everyone.
You hit on him?
Yeah, always. My favorite thing is hitting on straight male poets.
Oh.
And to see if they get awkward.
Well, he's awkward to begin with, so then how awkward did it get?
I learned that he really enjoys if you make fun of him, so... When I made fun of him, he was super happy.
You got along.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Do you know that if you try to text message Inoya to a friend, which is the best-selling book of poetry in all of Canada, if you try to text message Inoya to someone, it will autocorrect to Rumpus?
That's so weird.
I know.
I thought it was every time you text Inoya to a friend, like, Christian Book gets a dollar.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like a horror movie thing where it was like Candyman if he stayed in the mirror. Crazy, freaky shit would happen.
Actually,
to you.
To be fair, if you do say Inoya 3 times in the bathroom, Christian Book does show up.
Comes through the mirror.
He's wearing a nice suit, though.
Yeah. He's pleasant when he shows up.
Yeah, but it's still scary because you're like in your bathrobe or whatever. Yeah. You're brushing your teeth. It's freaky.
That's a movie as well.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we started a new Candlelit Feud between Amber Dawn and Christian Book.
Oh! I've never been in a Candlelit Feud before.
No, that wouldn't.
I know, me neither. Or if I have, I don't know about it.
I feel like maybe I have.
I'm not prominent enough. No one's going to come after me.
I'm not prominent enough either. But
what are they going to say? Your hair's too shiny? Yeah, come at me, bitch. Try it.
Shiny haired bitch.
If someone came after me, I would actually be like, that hurt my feelings. Like, completely sincerely. No. And then they would have nowhere to go with that. Like, what? Because I don't really fight.
I feel like it would depend on who it was and, like, how genuinely upsetting it was. Like,
yeah, you know? I just don't like to. I don't bother fighting just because I find it very boring. Like, it just seems like a waste of energy, so.
Also, when we're talking about this stuff, like, a feud is something that comes from something ridiculous. Mm. It's not, like, actually having a point or being genuinely, like, hurt by somebody or you've genuinely suffered trauma. Or, none of those things qualify as a feud. Like, a feud, I think, comes from a pettiness.
Imagine,
or, like, a pompousness.
Imagine, though, like, a big literary event where everyone was just like, fucking riot, and then like started busting chairs over each other's heads and stuff like that.
That happened at the poetry conference. Well, just one fight. Somebody threw a table, I think.
What? Someone threw a table?
Yeah.
Like, not just flipped it, but threw it.
I think they either flipped it or threw it, and I'm certain, a fight about form. Like, certain.
Formal rage.
Yeah. Lyrical shame versus formal rage.
And other poems.
The reason I don't get into feuds is because I think everything's really funny. So, like, that Michael Lister review came out for Why Poetry Sucks. Mm-hmm. And he negatively reviewed it, which, like, no one was surprised by. But it was just, like, it was just so much fun to make jokes. And it's, like, and I've never, like, I have no animosity towards Michael Lister. I just hope that he enjoys the jokes as well. Apparently not my jokes.
But your jokes are so good.
I know, but I didn't get any shout-outs in that review. Like, I was just...
Only losers got shout-outs in that review.
Dina got a shout-out in that review. For being awesome.
Yay, Dina.
Yeah.
Thanks, dudes.
But it was like, I just got so excited for the jokes. Because, like, he started the review with, like, one... It's still funny. One time, I took, like... a comedy class in high school, and it wasn't even like a full comedy class. It was like it referenced only partially taking this comedy class in high school, and like clearly not making it through. And so then he therefore decided that he was like had critical taste in respect to comedy and humor. And then did one of his reviews where he tries to take the book down, but it wasn't the best job.
Do you have notes? Would you like to give him some notes?
Some notes on it?
You don't have to.
No.
All
right. I have my own reviews to do.
Yeah. Do you like writing reviews? Your face is saying so many things that our listeners can't enjoy.
It's mostly going like it's got this face like you just ate something gross.
It's dislike. Yeah, I don't love it. I'll blurb, like, I'll write a mini review, and then I also will write a review as sort of, like, more of a social justice calling than actually a desire to critique the work. Like, Casey Plett's Safe Girl to Love came out with Topside Press, which is a press specifically for trans literature. And she's from Winnipeg, and I just didn't see her getting reviewed in Canadian media sources. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to review this, of course. Which, interestingly enough, a major lit review source asked me to do that review, and then I did it, and then they read it, and then they rejected it, so it went to Plenitude magazine, which I was very happy about.
Yay, Plenitude. Let's shout out to Plenitude.
So I guess I was in sort of a... I wasn't in a feud, but I got rejected by someone that commissioned me to do something originally.
Ooh. That's kind of infuriating.
Yeah.
That is infuriating, especially coming from the place that you said you wanted to do this.
Also, mm-hmm. You can't commission and then cut.
I mean, you can. It's called a kill. It's called a kill.
Yeah, you get a kill fee, hopefully.
But I didn't get a kill fee because I was
get a kill fee?
Well, I was going to do the review for free just because I care about Casey Plett's work so much. Right. So I got a kill free instead of a kill fee.
Oh, a little punning.
Well, that didn't go anywhere. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I don't like to write reviews, but I'm blurbing more.
And you like to talk about.
Oh yeah.
People's work and.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to champion other people's work. I just get self-deprecating when it comes to my skills, I guess, at writing reviews.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I'm very confident in my reviews.
Really? This is a gender. How did you get there? How'd you get there? Tell us the secret. Tell us the secret.
Poetry books. Like, I read poetry books like so much, and I've done so many poetry reviews that when I do it, I'm like, I have a crystal clear idea of why I liked and didn't like this book. Mm. My only hesitation I ever have is the review interesting to read? Because to me, I'm still writing an article,
mm-hmm.
coming from a background of like writing articles for newspapers and magazines.
Right.
And I forgot the second point because my brain's turning off.
Well, if you forgot the second point, then you have to answer Dina's question, which is it a gender thing?
I just wonder this because I do know other women-identified people that do feel the same way.
Feel like they're not confident in their reviews?
Mm-hmm. And that there's also, like, an intellectual sort of self-esteem issue. Like, I know for sure that even though I have multiple degrees and all this other stuff, like, I don't consider myself an academic, and I feel very removed from that part of it. And I don't know if that's like a gendered, learned experience, so I put myself in a lesser intellectual position. Yeah.
I like to bring work into a classroom and start a discussion where I might sort of start the discussion off similarly to how I would write a review, but then I say, hey, folks in this classroom, like, let's all join in and have a discussion about this work. I don't feel confident nor comfortable with just writing an entire review of all, like, how I view something and put it out there into the world. I like to be a discussion starter more than a solitary voice.
And if I'm going to do that, it's going to be more conversational. It's not going to have that, as I was just saying, like, academic tone.
I think what Dina and I are saying here is that before this podcast is done, both her and I have to softly, but still kick you in the balls.
No, that's fine. They are desensitized.
I do that after every episode.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know it was a tradition.
I think the reason I'm just okay to write reviews is that I know what I like and don't like when it comes to poetry. And in each style of poetry, like, I read every style of poetry, mm-hmm. and I know what I like and don't like in each set thing. So it's like, it's not a confidence in, like, being like, this is me saying I understand it completely for the rest of the world. It's like, oh, this is how I interpret it. This is the parts that I like. This is the parts I didn't like. And I know very well that it's just my perspective. Like, I don't put any weight into it.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't put any weight into the fact that people don't read reviews. Like, right. Nobody reads reviews.
The,
like,
authors
so
read their own reviews.
The authors definitely, yeah, they have definitely sent me messages after their reviews, and that's fine. But it's, to me, there's not a big fear of, like, having a giant audience being like, oh, this asshole thinks he knows shit. It's like, oh, these 20 people read this review and go, oh, okay, maybe I will buy that book or not.
I just want to say that we've talked about gender, we've talked about depression, we've talked mm-hmm. about fear, we've talked about dreams, we've talked about intimacy, and we've talked about gluten. So this is a really touchy-feely show.
Yeah.
It's pretty touchy-feely.
It is.
Yeah.
Speaking of touchy-feely, I want to ask the two of you.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for how to deal with the fall book season? Because it can be very overwhelming.
It's intense.
We're in the middle of it, and it feels really crazy.
Here's what I do. I buy tickets to a couple of key events at the Vancouver Writers Festival, mm-hmm. and I say, here's what I know I'm going to for sure, and I just try to congratulate myself for that, and then whatever else I miss in between A and B, I just try to forgive myself, I guess. But I also have the credo of bought the book, missed the launch, bought the book. And I actually might start tweeting all the missed the launch, bought the book of me holding the book, because that happens to me all the time. Missed the launch, bought the book.
That's a good hashtag. I will participate in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start it. Missed the launch, bought the book. Because it's still, there's still ways to support authors if you can't make it out to the launch. And goddamn, we can't be everywhere.
Well, like, book launches don't, they're just a means to market, right? Like, the whole point is to buy the book. And so if you buy the book, you do not have to go to that launch. Like, for me, I don't want to go to that many launches. There's so many. I do end up going to a lot of launches, but I miss a lot. But I in no way feel bad for missing them, because it's not, that's usually not even that fun. Like, to be quite honest, a lot of these launch parties, you're like, you're just reading from the text. And I like the sound of my voice in my head better than your voice in person.
Oh, really? Oh. Oh, my God. Don't come to my lunch.
You're a great reader. It's not, like, for everyone. But it's just, like, straight up, it's a lot of the times it's just people reading from the text. And to me, I can't even really focus that well, like, when there's so many people around and there's a wine. And I gotta drink that wine.
Yeah.
So I never, like, I feel like feeling bad for not attending book launches is pointless.
Yeah.
If you buy the book.
Yeah. I just struggle because I host and I organize so many events, but then I feel like, well, I can't go to everything. Like, I try and have a couple of free nights a week where I'm just able to do normal things, like eat food. Maybe I want clean underpants. Maybe I don't. That's not for you to know. But the point is, sometimes I have to do boring adult stuff and also sleep. And as I previously mentioned, there's television and people there that I care about a lot too. And they haven't written any books. They're just fake people.
I mean, when I was quite young, very new writer, I remember I had a few folks around town that I just thought were the bee's knees, and but I started thinking, oh, the only time I ever see these couple of, you know, more established writers is when it is something that they're actually in. But I don't see them necessarily coming out to other things. I only see them when they're in an event, and I kind of thought that was like, I thought they were jerks, right? But now that I'm older, I actually understand that, like, it's hard to, like, do all your appearances, go to your BFF's launch, and then, like, where's the other time, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I do. I just try and pick and choose what's going to work for me. Sometimes it's based on my schedule, and that's, I don't know. I don't really feel that bad about it, but sometimes I do feel genuinely tired where I'm like, oh. Yeah. Like, I'll have multiple events sometimes booked for a week, and I'm like, why did I do that? That was just dumb planning.
I hate it. I think, though, that maybe for next fall, in between now and next fall, I'll somehow get, like, an anvil of gold to fall on us so that we're independently wealthy. And we can actually just rent a tour bus, but we won't leave the town. We just have, like, beds on a bus, and it can drive us from book launch to book launch around Vancouver.
Idea. But if...
What about this Literary Arts Center? What if that happens? That could really pump things up.
That I would love to see that
then
happen.
Then we can all just always have a same spot. That
I
we're
also
going
am
going to
go on record as saying I'm taking it over, and I'm going to run it the right way. Listen, people, I'm ready for this. Don't fuck this shit up. Is that too bitchy?
No, it was a bit scary, but that's okay.
Did I sound scary?
A little bit.
Like mobbed up?
Like, in between, like, the,
I'm
like,
gonna watch
sex
my
of the lollipop.
I'm gonna watch my back when I leave here, because I don't want you to shank me from behind.
Yeah. Dina Shangbuchia.
That's how Dina Shangbuchia. That's how scary it was.
I totally had. Oh shit!
Sorry.
I the launches. There. Yeah.
If we had that literary center, basically we could just have a big slumber party for like a month. Just go to sleep, wake up, there'd be a launch.
We'd eat some food.
Yeah, yeah, go back to sleep, wake up, another launch. Like, it would be easy.
We wouldn't have to go anywhere. There, I could just catch up.
Seriously.
This was my concern, was if an anvil of gold drops on you, one, it'd probably be from Anvil Press. Two.
They don't have an anvil of gold.
I know, but that makes the most sense. Two. I would want to just go sit on sunny patios and drink rosé all the time.
It has a patio, okay? This literary center has a patio. It also has a place for all of our bedrolls, and it has a shared kitchen. Cool. And a stage with a really good sound system.
Okay.
And an AV, like AV that works every single time.
It's the best AV people run the AV system.
Yeah. They know what you want to do before AV you even tell them.
Yeah.
That's visionaries. These are visionaries, these people.
Do you like our dream? Do you like it?
Yeah, that's fine. It's just, I feel like it's still going to be cold.
Sometimes there's puppies and kittens that come in.
Oh, yeah. There's actually a whole floor that's just like a small animal petting zoo. So after you go through your sophomore book slump, you can just hang out there.
What's up? Do you like bunnies? Here you go.
I actually did go to a small dog, a toy dog petting zoo when I was in Japan because I felt very lonely and... There was one in Osaka, and there's a lot of little Pomeranians that just, they just wanted love, and I just wanted to love them.
They just look, they're so cute.
They're fucking really cute.
It's ridiculous.
They're tiny, fluffy, happy makers.
Yeah, they're real cute. Before I came here, I was watching a video called Puppies and Kittens Meet for the First Time, and I was like, this is the best video ever.
Throw some baby goats in there.
Yeah, throw a couple baby goats in. You know what you get? Get some baby otters rolling around. I'm sold.
So we need a full terrarium.
Yeah, yeah. Can-lit petting zoo. David Gilmore will be in one of the cages.
Do people
pet him? No, he's in the cage.
No, he's going to throw his feces at someone if we shoot him like that.
One day we're going to meet David Gilmore, and he's just going to like punch us right in our faces. And we'll be like, you know what? You're right.
No way. I'm going to kick and punch right back. Scrappy. It's going to be scrappy mess.
I am going to move us on to another segment, which I just made up.
Great.
You made it up right now?
Not just right now, just as we arrived. It's called What Literary Games Would I Like to Play? And you guys can come up with some as well, but I'm trying to come up with literary games for the Poetry's Dead launch, because it's our 10th issue, so we're trying to have a lot of... things that involve people winning prizes. That is mainly beer. So nothing for Amber Dawn.
It's gluten and alcohol
in
the same bottle.
There is potentially a painting prize.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a special painting prize. We'll detail it in the next episode.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger.
And actually, it'll probably already happen by the next episode. But, so I kept thinking of different ways to get people up in like a Family Feud stylish way where they have to answer questions. And I only came up with a couple examples last night when I couldn't fall asleep. And one is I read a line from a poem and you have to figure out if the poem is about trees or if the poem is about a woman from the perspective of the male gaze.
How about just
So it's called tree. Male Gaze or Trees.
But do you think trees is a little limiting? Should it just be like nature or male gaze?
I'm going to have to adjust it like when I
do,
actually
like nature
produce
or male
it.
Gaze is good.
Yeah.
I'm just eating some glazed walnuts.
That's fine.
That I just shaved it right off of that donut that I can't actually eat.
Yeah, that's also one of the literary games. The other one I came up with, who said it? My dad or Zizek?
That's great! Yes!
That's a really good one. What about something that gets people up and out of their seat? Like something that's like, I don't know why this went in my head, Lumbata or Line. You don't actually want people to... What about Limbo or Line? Like, they either have to go under a limbo stick or they have to recite a line from some poem that they can
source. That would be like a very long event.
Yeah, that would be long. It wouldn't be fast.
And a lot of trust fall.
What if you did have something, though, where people did have to do something on a timer, and otherwise you would, like, I don't know, throw water balloons at them or something? Is that too much?
That might be a bit intense.
It doesn't have to be water balloons. That's just what came into my head.
I just like that you're going with negative reinforcement versus positive reinforcement.
Isn't that what people like watching? Mm-hmm. People, it's like, under duress? They're like, I don't know. Can you please get a dunk tank to be a part of this event?
That will be...
Just spray cans of whipped cream, any of that. Mm-hmm. That will help.
I don't have to clean up afterwards.
Okay, okay.
It's the cobalt. It gets messy all the time.
People get upset, though, if they get that, like, artificial oil product on their clothes, which is what whipped cream is now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions?
I'm thinking.
This is really on the spot.
I wanted to do one where it was old teacher photo or... poet author profile photo, and I'd have it up on the screen. You have to figure out which one was the like.
Oh,
go. Yeah,
yeah, sorry, I just thought of something. Why don't you do the one true pairing, and you could have matchmaking and put a whole bunch of author photos up and match make different authors.
Oh yeah,
that'd be fun.
Or also one true pairing. Real live Canlet feud, pair the photos of who's fought before.
You could make like a
you could do like down. seven degrees of separation from Christian Book and have it be feudal. I'm in trouble.
I like this, everything that's happening. What about like something easier, like pin the eyebrows on the author?
Oh, you should definitely do like a match, like whose facial hair is this or something.
Or you could just do hair, like hairs.
Hairstyles, yeah.
Styles.
Yeah. White out their faces. Good idea.
A George Bowering one. I say the title of the book, and they have to say if it's about...
baseball?
Baseball. They have to say if it's about baseball or not.
Bowering and baseball?
Yeah.
Is this George Bowering book about baseball?
It's going to be a trick question, because they're all about baseball.
You could read lines of Sarah DeLuz poems and then lines from Penthouse Letters and make people guess which is which.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good.
We did play that one.
You already played that?
No. Remember at the humor issue, rap poem or joke. Poem.
She wasn't there.
That's right, you weren't
there.
Yeah,
we played this great game show called Rap Joke or Poem, and that people were guessing where the lines are from. It was good. It was a good game.
I think we'll bring that one back for that.
Rap Joke or Poem was a good game.
That's I think we might remove the joke, though, just to make it
rap
easier.
Rap poem?
Yeah, rap or poem.
Mm-hmm. Rap, poem, or Penthouse Letter.
Yeah?
Sure.
You really or want tweet, this Penthouse
I don't know. I just Penthouse Letters are hilarious.
They are.
Especially if you go back in the issues. Like, you go back to, like, you grab some vintage Penthouse from, like, the 70s and 80s.
Penthouse
hilarious.
Used to publish, too, like, the paperback. Like, the mass market paperback editions that were, like, best of. And you're like, best of. What's going to be in here? We used to read them when I worked at Chapters in the back room when we were supposed to be working. We would be bored and be like, let's read a bunch of these best of Penthouse letters. There's like five of us crowded in the corner.
It's your root.
So boring. I mean, work was boring, so we had to entertain ourselves.
You didn't love working at Chapters?
It's the greatest years of my life.
There you go. Thanks, Heather.
Heather Reisman, everyone. Thanks for coming. Am I in a feud with Heather Reisman now?
What?
Mind a feud with Heather Reisman?
I hope so. That'll get you good sales.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, this is another something that happened, speaking of feuds. So I was on Twitter, and this rapper showed up, and his name was Hoodie Allen. And so I click on his link, because he looks like the whitest guy in the world. And so I clicked on the link, and then I watched a couple of his videos, because he had 460,000 followers on Twitter, and, like, hitting, like, 12 million views on his videos. And I was like, okay. I'm like, this guy must be good. So I press play. And it's like, I made the joke that it was, like, the Gap designed a rapper. Because it was just like, I'm just chilling with my homies. And I'm having a good time with nice girls.
Wearing khakis? Yeah. You say he's wearing khakis?
No, but he was definitely wearing khakis. So anyways, I tweeted that. I didn't even at him. I tweeted that, and he responded within seconds. What? This guy with 450,000 followers tweeted my shitty account with 450 followers, And he was like, "Oh, come on! I don't even shop at the Gap. Give me a tier of credit."
He has himself on Google Alerts,
and I was like, "Holy shit!" I was like, "No, if you have to harass random people on Twitter who don't even tag you in the post, you're not a good rapper. You're not a rapper. Don't."
Now you're in a fight with Hoodie Allen.
Yeah, so Hoodie Allen. Me and Hoodie. And I like
DJ That's So Raven versus Hoodie Allen. Right?
The white boy off.
White boy.
I felt like I had a brush with fame.
You did.
Not since Topanga have I talked to somebody so famous.
You talked to Topanga?
I talked to Topanga. I've already talked to you about this. We'll save this for a different podcast. Amber, where can everyone find you on the internet?
You can find me at amberdonwrites.com. That's my website. And my Twitter is amberdonwrites as well. And that's all. Just those two places.
Of your new book? Does it have a title?
Uh-huh. It's called Where the Words End and My Body Begins. Because after writing...
It has that beautiful cover.
Oh, my God, and it has a cover by Rebecca Chaperon, I love her art, and I love the cover, and I'm so happy that she granted me use of the image.
No, it looks phenomenal.
It's really pretty. For those of you who aren't, Googling my next book right this minute, it's, this white ice cave with these sort of disembodied arms coming out from the cave, and there's a pool of pink water, and it's all just very homosexual fantasy landscape in my mind.
I think they should just get a Google alert for Amber Dawn.
Listen, everyone.
And Hoodie Allen.
And that's coming out with Arsenal Pulp Press.
It sure is.
April 2015.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you have anything else that you want to plug? Do you have any things going on that you want people to know about?
Oh, I'm going to be at... When does this podcast come out?
27th,
yeah.
The 27th?
Cool.
Oh, wait. I'm going to be in the Reverb Reading Series at Gallery Gaché on November 5th.
Okay.
Cool. Go to that.
Yeah, and you'll be hanging out at the Poetry is Dead 10-issue launch November 6th?
Yes. Because that is where everyone's going to be. It's like a slumber party game show. There's going to be...
Who said it? My dad or Jajek?
Game
toy Pomeranians.
Yeah.
Oh, I want there to be some tiny animals at this event.
Plus, it's going to be a dance party as well. So if you like dancing, me and my counterpart at the regular DJ space that we DJ for are DJing for the Poetry's Dead event.
I do love when you DJ. It's one of the things I love.
Excellent.
I love it too.
Perfect. I'm happy.
My
self-confidence is soaring.
See all that therapeutic work?
Yeah.
It's already paid off.
Perfect.
It's so warm in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In my heart.
Yeah. You can find Can't Lit at cantlit.ca.
That's right. Go to iTunes. Give us some stars.
We've only got that one 5-star rating.
We have one 5-star rating, which always feels
good. I'm certain it's Dina's friend. It could be.
Yeah, my friend Alana, who gives us notes every episode that are all positive.
Yeah.
She texts me amazing notes. She's great.
We hope you will join us for the next episode, where it's going to be a special episode called... What's George Bowering Doing? The live edition.
Live edition. Real in person.
And we'll have Gene Beard as well, as well on there.
That's right.
Someone told me once that if you try really hard and you get a Ouija board, you can contact the spirit of Earl Burning. You should have that on one of your upcoming podcasts.
That's a good idea. This is good. Halloween is coming.
It is coming, yeah.
So we got to think about that. Also, everyone think about your Halloween costumes.
Yeah. Did you check out the...
checked out the literary duo's Halloween costume on BuzzFeed, and it was pretty great.
Yeah,
it was good. Anais in June, though, for sure, is the best costume.
Of course.
Anais. Yeah, that's correct.
Gertrude and Alice
also good. Yeah. Jack costumes only, really. literary duos. Like, that's what I'm into.
Yeah.
Don't give me this Plath and Hughes business. I'm not interested.
No, no, don't do that.
Like, not interested.
Yeah, you can't. That's not a one. Nobody likes that one.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Thank you for being our guest. You're a great guest.
I loved being here.
Thanks for bringing us vitamin C. I can feel this cold possibly leave my body. That's it's not good. True. My back is in total pain. I'm probably going to pass out.
Oh, I should have brought the suckers with the ibuprofen in there.
Yeah.
Oh, the drug suckers, yeah.
Yay!
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Follow us on the internet and subscribe to our podcast. We love you. Happy Halloween and other holidays that happen. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm the ghost of Earl Burney.